God's peace is always yours in Jesus Christ. Hear the word of God from Revelation 21. Then one of the angels said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high. And he showed me the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully adorned for her husband. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel. Dear friends in Christ, so what is heaven going to be like? Inquiring minds want to know. What will it look like? Who will be there? What will it feel like, smell like, taste like? We long for a glimpse of heaven to carry us through this dying world. But where can we get such a glimpse? 1 Corinthians 2 says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." It's been said, a picture is worth a thousand words. But with God, one of his words is worth a thousand pictures. By God's grace, the disciple John was given a glimpse into heaven, and he lived to write about it in the book of Revelation. John gives us a preview of coming attractions in the book of Revelation by using many pictures to reveal what heaven is like. John speaks of heaven as a holy city, a radiant bride, precious stones, pearly gates, streets of gold, the tree of life, the throne of God, the conquering Lamb, angelic choirs, the Spirit flowing like a river before the throne, and no more curse. Heaven is unlike anything we've ever known, seen, heard, touched, smelled, tasted, or imagined. We can only get glimpses of it through the Word of God, and through God's sacraments. Revelation 21 says, "I, John, saw the holy city, the new and heavenly Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." The book of Revelation distinguishes between two cities, the holy city of God, and the earthly city of man. Man's earthly city is called Babylon, hearkening back to the Tower of Babel and man's rebellion, trying to play God. The sinful city, Babylon, that man builds on earth, stands in for this whole sinful world, and is described in Revelation as a drunken prostitute, with crooked merchants, corrupt politicians, immoral bedrooms, filled with false religions, demons, and ruled by the devil. That's Babylon, the city man builds. And in Revelation 19, foreshadowing the last day, it will be utterly destroyed to ashes. So you might not want to plant your feet too solidly on this earth. But then Hebrews 12 describes the heavenly city like this: "But you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of the righteous ones made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Revelation 20 through 22 describes the heavenly city as a place where there is no more suffering, mourning, crying, pain, sin, death, devil, demons, or curse. And Jesus has purchased you and me to be his bride. He embraced us as his bride in baptism. He gives us an appetizer of the wedding feast in the Lord's Supper. He speaks his love letter to us through the Word, and he will soon take us, his bride, to the honeymoon suite of heaven to live happily ever after. John then sees and describes the bride of Christ, which includes all the believers in heaven and on earth, of which we are already citizens of heaven through faith. We just haven't arrived yet. In Revelation 21, an angel says to John, "Come, let me show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." Which Lamb? John 1, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, now risen and reigning in heaven. And when John sees the bride, the wife of the Lamb, the church of Christ, he describes the bride as follows in Revelation 21. "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband," which is Jesus. And John also sees the great wedding celebration already beginning in heaven in Revelation 19, where he adds, "And I heard the roar of a great multitude, crying out, 'Alleluia, our God reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the marriage feast of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and pure, was given to her to wear.'" And talk about saying yes to the dress. John says, "And the city, which is the church, the bride of Christ, shined with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel." But on our great wedding day in heaven, we won't be singing, "Here comes the bride." No, we will be singing with the faithful ones in Matthew 25, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." We'll be singing, "Here comes the groom." Why? Because he, Jesus, the groom, paid the betrothal price of his own blood so that we could be his bride and live with him forever in the honeymoon suite of heaven. We will be giving all glory to the groom, not to ourselves, the bride. Why? Without Jesus' blood, we're just a sinful bride, a bride dirty with our crimes and unfaithfulness. Without Jesus' blood, there would be no marriage with sinners, no forgiven bride, no access to the bridal suite, no honeymoon in heaven. That defies all earthly descriptions. And yet, while all of the bride's glory was earned and purchased by the bridegroom, yet out of true love for his bride, our bridegroom Jesus has given his beauty and glory to us. John says, "I saw the wife of the Lamb, who shined with the glory of God, and her brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel." Well, the glory of God is Jesus Christ. The brilliance like that of a very precious jewel is the righteousness of Christ. Isaiah 61 adds that this is our bridal beauty. And it's ours through faith in Jesus when it says, "He has clothed me in garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, even as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." Our bridal beauty, that is as brilliant as precious jewels, is the righteousness of Jesus, as precious as the most valuable jewels, and it's ours now by faith and in heaven by sight. As John continues his tour of heaven, he notices something missing. There's no temple in the city. which is strange. You'd expect a place of worship in heaven, since the highlight of heaven will be its thunderous, saintly, angelic, Christ-centered worship. But then John notices why there's no temple. He says, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, Jesus, are the temple. And the bride, all believers in Christ, are its pillars. The vision John gives us is that in which there is no building in which we worship, for all of heaven is sort of like this outdoor worship service around God the Father and the Lamb Jesus seated on the throne, and around of the Holy Spirit encircling the throne. The angels and saints are worshiping and praising our saving bridegroom in paradise restored. In other words, instead of a structure or building set apart for worship, dare to imagine the entirety of heaven and the entirety of the city of God, all filled with praise, all made possible by the blood of the Lamb, our bridegroom Jesus. The entire city, the entire kingdom, the entire heaven, the entire new creation, overflowing with thunderous praise of God the Father for his rescue plan, to the Lamb for his rescue, and to the Holy Spirit for delivering that rescue to us. Not just one building on one city block behind closed doors by a few people, all of the redeemed of God, risen and reigning, are and will forever praise our saving Lord and loving bridegroom in the fullness of heaven. As John continues his tour of heaven, he tells us there will be no need for the sun, moon, or stars. Forget about green new deals, for the Lord God Almighty will be its light, and the Lamb will be its lamp. Notice, it does not say that there will not be a sun, moon, and stars in heaven. It says there will be no need for them, because the Lord will be heaven's light, and the Lamb, Jesus, will be its light. The sun, moon, and stars will most likely be there, because Romans 8 says, all creation will be made new again. However, in the new creation, the luminous, glorious, spectacular presence of our once dead, now risen Savior, together with the glory of his Father and the Holy Spirit, will provide the overwhelming light and life for God's people. As a result, John adds, the nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. It reminds us, sort of the wise men bringing their gifts to the Christ child and guided by Bethlehem's star. It will be sort of like an eternal Christmas service, an eternal Epiphany, an eternal Easter, as Christ our bridegroom forever reveals his love to his bride, the church, while we, the bride, will give Jesus the gold, frankincense, and myrrh of our praise. John next notices that God's city is a gated community. But notice, its gates of pearl are never shut. The open gates speak of freedom, safety, and welcome for all. The Bible says there will be no more night there, no more cover of darkness, no more getting lost in the dark, no more anything that goes with darkness. Criminals, thieves, robbers, prowlers, demons, or devils. In fact, John explicitly says, nothing sinful. Now, he says it in the present tense, meaning nothing that is still sinful. You and I've all sinned, but God has given us that great rescue that when we turn in repentance from our sin to Jesus, we're forgiven, and he forgets our sins, and we're counted as not sinful anymore. But John says, nothing sinful, that is still sinful, will ever enter the city. The good news is our sin doesn't rise with us in the great resurrection on the last day, and thus it doesn't go with us into God's city. We will finally live in a sinless paradise, a sinless city. It will be paradise restored, Garden of Eden to the max. It's often been said that the greatness of heaven can first be described by what's not in heaven. Revelation 21 says, there will be no more suffering, mourning, crying, pain, or death. Dare to imagine no more rioting and rebellion, no more war and attacks, no more violence and murder, no more suffering and pain, no more plague and pestilence. More importantly, there is one more thing that will not be there. A lot of people, sadly, will not be there. Your relatives won't be there simply because they have the same last name as you do. The guest list is based on repentance and forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus. Revelation 21, outside of the city are the cowardly. Again, notice, this is present tense. Those who are still cowardly, that is, they were too afraid to die to their sins and rise with Christ. It goes on. Outside of the city are, present tense, those who still are unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice the occult, the idolaters, and all liars. Their place will be in the lake of fire, which is the second death. In fact, John says, nothing sinful will ever enter it, nor those who keep on doing what is shameful. Now, if you're like me, when you hear those words, nothing sinful will ever enter it, it might strike a little fear in our hearts because we're all sinful and we know it. But wait a second. If you look closely at those verses, it's speaking in the present tense. It's referring to those who are still sinful because they're still unrepentant. They're still cowardly, still unbelieving, still vile, still murderers, still sexually immoral, still idolaters, still liars. They will not be in heaven. It's referring to those who would rather give up Jesus than give up their sins. In other words, those who refuse to repent and take Jesus up on the deal that his shed blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. They will not be in heaven. But for those who believe in Jesus as their Savior, Isaiah 51 promises us, the redeemed of the Lord will enter Zion with singing, and never-ending joy will crown their heads, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. You and I don't enter heaven by our own performance, purity, piety, prayers, praise, martyrdom, holy war, or jihad. We receive heaven as a free gift from a bridegroom who dearly loves us. It was only possible by the pardon plan of his shed blood. And because that access is only through his shed blood, Ephesians 3 says, in Christ we may approach God, our Father, with freedom and confidence. In other words, only those who take Jesus up on his forgiving death will enter heaven, which is why John says in Revelation 14, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Notice, not just anyone is blessed, and certainly not everyone is blessed, but blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. The Greek word for blessed means happy to the highest degree. This is what God has in store for us. Happy to the highest degree are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. On this All Saints Day, we remember that death is never the final outcome for those who trust in Jesus. Isaiah 25, the Lord has swallowed up death forever and spit it out defeated on Easter morning. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul even makes fun of death. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your victory? Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus. In other words, Christ's victory over sin, death, and the grave is our victory over sin, death, and the grave. And we're going to celebrate that victory with our bridegroom Jesus forever in heaven. Isn't it great to be a Christian? In fact, our bridegroom Jesus has so defeated death that it cannot touch our lives until God says, when God says, where God says, how God says, and for the purpose God says, which for Jesus' bride, those who love their Savior, is always a door to heaven. Which is why John promises us in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He who whoever believes in me will live, even if they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die eternally. In closing, fret not, O bride of Christ. Fret not, dear saints of God, for your salvation is drawing near. And just as certainly as Jesus laid down his life to pay the betrothal price of his blood to make you his bride, and just as certainly as Jesus rose from the dead and publicly declared you to be his bride, and just as certainly as he ascended back into heaven to prepare the bridal suite and get everything ready for the honeymoon of heaven for his bride, he will come again to take his bride to be with him, so that where he is, you may be also. And we will live happily ever after, face to face with our bridegroom. This calls for praise unending. Amen.